My name's Erin. We're in Discovering Buddhism, Death and Rebirth, class 4 of 5. Last week is our last class, and it is going to be the normal time, 7 to 8:30. Have a couple announcements. There are at least two ways to do Discovering Buddhism. One with a live teacher like we are fortunate to have here with Robbie, and two, the FPMT online course, which we talked about on the first week of this class. There are some things there that you might be useful or necessary for you. There are guided meditations on there. The 9-point meditation that we did this past week, the FPMT online teacher goes over those, and because it's made for an online course, they're edited and kind of put together as if you're listening online, so that's kind of helpful. And there are also a couple things we typically don't do in our 6-week course. One is a comprehensive exam. So there's an online exam that's like lots and lots of questions that goes over all the material for this course. So you can, at the end of Death and Rebirth, go online to the FPMT class and take that course. Take that exam, and you can review the material that they provide in the online course to help you pass that exam if you would like. And there's also instructions for intensive practice. So it's a 1-to-3 meditation for each Discovering Buddhism course, 1-to-3 day, yeah. So we don't typically offer that in the 6 weeks, but I have an announcement. 2 are coming up. So we haven't done this in a while, offering one-day courses that kind of align with the Discovering Buddhism modules, but we are going to do one November 11th and one December 9th, and we're starting with the easier topics. So these are one-day sessions, and they are the first one's how to aligns with the How to Meditate class. The meditations are continuity of consciousness, equanimity, clarity of consciousness, meditation on the Buddha. This is on the calendar. So if you go to go to our website, Kadampa Center, and look on December 9th and November 11th, and you'll see these descriptions. And then the one in December is the one that kind of aligns with, I think I said that backwards. The mind one is December, and the other one, How to Meditate, is November. And the November ones are breathing, clarity of the mind, precious human life, purification, impermanence, meditation on the Buddha. So those are all great topics, whether you're taking this course for the first time, or you've taken it before, or you're not in this room. We'll be announcing it to the whole community, because however long you practice, you still need to keep doing those meditations. So they're really good meditations to do every day, or to refresh your memory on, and things like that. So for those 2 one-day courses, the one in November and the one in December, we're not going to have an FPMT certified teacher like we have with Robbie here. It's going to be more of a group practice. So the idea with those one-day intensives is that they are things that you can do on your own at home, sitting on your cushion. However, some of us need a little more motivation. We like to practice in a group. We like to come to this center that has... It's just such a great place to practice, because so much positive practice has been done here, so it helps us to have really good focus. So I think it's a good place to do it. So I volunteered to do the one in November and December, so I'll just kind of be facilitating that, and we'll just be doing it like based on what the FPMT guided meditations are. I think that's it.
is not getting any easier. Okay. Testing? Okay. Let's begin with three prostrations. If you'd like to join me, no requirement to do that, but an acknowledgement of the Buddha and Dharma and Sangha. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Good evening. This is the fourth of fifth classes in this module. Tonight we'll be beginning to look at the death dissolution meditation, which is very complicated. And so we're just going to start to become familiar with it tonight. And then next week will be an all meditation evening, and we'll review the various meditations that we've done in this class. They'll be the regular time from 7 to 8:30. Let's see, do we have anyone who's here for the very first time tonight? Okay. Great. So glad to have you all here. We'll begin with our prayers in the Gold Prayer Book on page 34, daily prayers. We'll start with refuge and bodhicitta three times, the four immeasurables, seven limb prayer, and then tonight we'll add in the mandala offering, in which we imagine that we're offering everything wonderful in the universe, whether we actually own it or not, to the enlightened beings who are our spiritual guide. And this is accompanied by a, traditionally we do it with a hand mudra, a hand gesture that you're not required to do, but I know people are frequently interested in finding out about it. How many people know can do it? Yeah, a couple people can. Hmm? Yeah, you're getting there. The, two ring fingers are pointing up together. Okay, and then you cross your middle fingers in front of that, and then you use your index fingers to pull those down, and then you cross your pinky fingers and use your thumbs to pull those down. So it's kind of like a open the church and see all the people with it, some variations. It symbolizes Mount Meru, the center of the universe, the two fingers pointing up, and then the two middle fingers and the two pinky fingers represent the four continents surrounding Mount Meru. So it's an image of the entire universe. So we make that and put it in front of us as if we're offering it. So everything wonderful in the universe. But don't get hung up on the hand mudra. That's not the most important part. The important part is the thought that goes with the prayers. So we'll do all these in English, starting with refuge and bodhicitta, which we read three times. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness in the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering, the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time, and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon, I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalakam Niryatayami. Okay. So we'll begin with some meditation. We'll start by checking our posture, our back a little straighter than we normally sit. Our head straight on our shoulders, our eyes either lightly closed or slightly open, our mouth closed and relaxed, our shoulders relaxed and down, and a little bit back so that our chest is open. Upper arms away from our torso. Right hand on left, with our thumbs touching. Our feet flat on the floor or on a cushion if we're sitting in a chair. If we're on a cushion, we're a little bit to the front of the cushion, and our legs are in a posture that we find stable and non-distracting. The whole point of the posture is its stability. Once we establish it, it's self-maintaining for the duration of the meditation, and we don't have to be fidgeting with it. So check and identify any sources of tension or discomfort and address those now so they don't become a recurring issue during the meditation itself. And we'll begin by taking three deep breaths from the abdomen, the stomach expanding on the in-breath, and then contracting towards our spine on the out-breath. And now we allow our breath to return to its normal pattern. And we begin by setting our motivation for the meditation that we're going to be doing. And as much as possible, even if it seems forced or even unnatural, we think about the bodhicitta motivation. The motivation that everything I do, even something as simple as this little meditation, is done so that I may become enlightened, achieve the state of Buddhahood, in order to benefit all living beings, myself, my family, my friends, my co-workers, those people I don't like, and those people and beings that I don't even know, that I'm not even aware of. And having set our motivation, we now begin the meditation. We place our consciousness on the physical sensation of breath moving in and out through the openings of our nostrils. Just the physical sensation of the slightly cool air coming in and going out. We're not thinking about it. We're not visualizing it. We're not describing it to ourselves. The consciousness is directly on the sensation. Mind perceiving, being aware of, so that they are said to be of the same nature. The mind, when it's on the breath, is of the same nature as the breath. They are inseparable. And then when we notice that our mind has wandered off to another object, we gently set that aside and come back to the breath over and over and over. And that is the meditation. And we can end our meditation with a brief dedication. Acknowledge that we've done something positive by sitting quietly with our mind, that we've made a positive, virtuous imprint on our mental continuum. And we think, may that positive energy not be squandered or wasted, but it may it ripen in my mind stream in the future in a way that is of benefit to all living beings. Okay, that's a very simple but difficult concentration meditation. The mind is placed on the chosen object, and we keep it there and keep coming back to it over and over again. Last week we did an analytic meditation, the 9-point depth meditation, in which we use our mind's ability to think and reason and remember and compare and argue with itself. But again, we bring that ability to concentrate to the chosen subject. The subject for that meditation was death. Can somebody tell me what the 3 principal points in the 9-point death meditation are, the 3 basic headings? Death is definite. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the first one. The next one is?
We don't know
when time of death is indefinite. I mean, duh, we're talking about pretty obvious here, but we don't think that way most of the time. And the third is? At the time of death, our spiritual practice is the only thing that's of benefit to us. Death is definite. The time of death is unknown, and when that time gets here, only our spiritual practice will benefit us. So if we meditate on that in the various subpoints, we come to 3 conclusions. The first conclusion is, anybody remember? Yes, we need to practice. Yeah, we need to practice. The second conclusion is, we have to practice now. Very good. And the third one is? Yeah, we have to practice without attachment. We have to practice purely. Okay? So the Buddha said is, if we meditate on those 3 points and really internalize them and begin to get a sense of what they mean for my life, those are the inevitable conclusions that we'll come to. Now, probably when we meditate, we'll come to other conclusions at some point. That's okay. None of this is to be taken because the Buddha said so. It's to be taken because it makes sense to you and jives with your own experience. So that was the 9-point death meditation. Very important to be familiar with that. Tonight we're going to do what's called the death dissolution meditation. And this is a very complicated meditation. And it's really over my pay grade to talk about a lot of this meditation is involved. And it's not something that you can just sit down and memorize. You really have to read it and study it because it is so complicated. But this meditation is the one that His Holiness feels is so important that he does it a minimum of 4 times a day. This is rehearsing or practicing what actually happens during the death process, as told to us by the great meditators who have gone through that and have kept their consciousness calm and relaxed so they see what's going on, and they told us that this is what we go through during that process. And the point is not to be scared, though when you start to do it, you might find it disturbing, okay? But the point is to get very familiar with it so that when we go through the death process, we know what's happening. We expect what's happening next. We're not going to be frightened or clinging or grasping, so that when the mind and the body do separate, the moment of death, and the mind goes into that intermediate state named the bardo, we're very clear, focused, and aware of what's going on, which will increase the chances of having a more favorable rebirth in the next lifetime, so that we can be of greater benefit to others, okay? Not because we want a good rebirth for ourselves, though that's nice, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting a favorable rebirth for yourself, but particularly choosing the next rebirth so that we can be of the most benefit to the most living beings. Okay, so we're rehearsing, practicing. And this is a type of meditation that's called visualization. And it visualization means nothing more than imagining. We're using our ability to imagine. We're imagining sights. We're imagining sounds. We're imagining physical sensations. And that's all we do, so we become familiar with it. Okay? And it's very long, so we'll probably, I don't know if we'll go through it all in one fell swoop, or I may give you a break halfway through. We'll see how it goes. And there are lots of places to find this on the web, and Aaron was going to put them up on the website. There's one site, it's a PDF called Death Dissolution, and it's by Joan Halifax Roshi, who's a Zen teacher, but she apparently she likes this meditation, which is very much in the Tibetan tradition, and her version was written with guidance from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, so it's quite accurate. Let's, Aaron. Yeah, I saw her standing back there. Yeah, all of these links are on the website.
The links will be on the Discovering Buddhism Materials
okay.
page, where all the homework is.
Okay. The second version, which comes with a little bit more commentary, is by Venerable Pende Hodder, who's an Australian, who's been a Buddhist monk for many, many years. He's in the FPMT, our organization, and he works in hospices in Australia. And his is called Death and Dying in the Tibetan Buddhist Tradition. There's a simpler version in this book called Lamrim Outlines, which is an outline of all the meditations in the Lamrim by Venerable Karen Valham, who's a nun who's taught the meditation courses in Kopan in Kathmandu for years and years. And this is a little bit simpler version. And then Nick Rebush has a very simple version, which is in the...
It's on the FPMT version of this class. That's the online streaming version
okay,
of this
yeah.
class. So Meditation 4 has a little bit of this.
Yeah, and his is, as Aaron says, really just a bare-bones outline. So once you're familiar with the meditation, you might want to use that just so you don't get lost in it. But one of the other ones is... probably better to start out with. And I'm going to use Joan Halifax Roshi's version this evening. I think it's very well written. And so that a great way to do this practice is to actually lie down as if you're on your deathbed. The big danger there is you can fall asleep. Or does anybody know how the Buddha died, what his posture was? Yeah, he's lying down on his right side, with his left arm on the side of his body, and the right hand, not to be too seductive or anything, but he's like this. I don't know if I could keep that for an hour-long meditation, but If you want to, if anybody wants to lie down, you're welcome to do that. As I say, if you're a busy person, the tendency is to go to sleep. I would like to try dimming the lights a little bit, if we can get it a little. Yeah. Let's see what's. Yeah. No, that's too much. Why don't you turn the last one on? Yeah. Okay. And if you're going to lie down, have your head towards the altar, feet towards the back of the room, okay? You want the crown of your head towards the Buddha statue or anything like that. No, this is fine. Yeah, let's try it like this, okay? Yeah. So we got some people who are going to go, okay, good. Okay. Yeah, and that's what's referred to as the sleeping lion position. Make sure that you are comfortable and allow yourself to adjust your position as needed during the practice. This will be a long meditation, so if you need to go from sitting on a cushion to a chair or something, that's fine. Don't worry about that. And if you're lying down, the top of your head is directed towards the image of the Buddha, if one's available, or anything that represents the enlightened mind. It could be a picture of Jesus or Muhammad or a kindly grandmother or whatever. And the hope is that when we die, that the consciousness leaves, separates from the body and goes through the top of the head. That's said to be more favorable, but I can't really explain that. Okay. So we'll begin with a little bit of introduction explaining how this meditate. Well, actually, I'm going to write some of this down. Let's see, there are 9 dissolutions. Four of body. 5 of mind. 4 of body are based on what are called the winds. There are 4 winds, and they are earth. Let's see which order do they go in. Water, fire, and air. Okay, so those 4 dissolutions. And each dissolution is accompanied by an external sign. And by an internal sign. And I'm not going to write all those down, but just to give you an idea of the structure. The winds are said to be energies in the body that the consciousness is, said to ride on these winds. So the various gross consciousnesses ride on these winds. And it's said that the earth wind dissolves or absorbs into the water wind, which then dissolves or absorbs into the fire wind, which dissolves into the air wind. So I can't really explain what those words mean, but it's a process of things coming in. The grosser consciousnesses are being shed, and the energy is absorbing down and down into deeper levels. And you'll get a sense of this when we do the meditation. And each dissolution or absorption is accompanied by external signs. And then it's also accompanied by internal signs, things that appear to our mind as this occurs. And as you'll see, it's quite complicated. And we do this meditation as if we had the good fortune, had created the good karma, to have a very calm death, lying in our bed, just gradually fading out. And we all know that a lot of us won't have deaths like that. They may be violent in a car wreck or something like that. And we still go through this process. It'll be much quicker if it's a violent death, and it may be distorted, not picture perfect like what we're going to practice here. But we practice this as if we were having a very calm, peaceful death. That's the way that it's like practicing your scales. You do it in a very controlled environment. Okay, so back where we were. Get our posture established. Let the mind become still and let the breath become even and smooth. Whatever comes up, notice it, set it aside, and return to the meditation. This particular practice involves the dissolution not only of the elements of our mind, but also the elements of our body. Earth, water, fire, and air, and then releasing the elements of our identity. We shed the elements of our identity that compose what we think of as I. We allow ourselves to dissolve our form, our feelings, our perceptions, our mental conditioning, and ultimately let go of what we know as our consciousness. This practice is about awakening as the mental processes dissolve and as the physical processes of the body go through the transformation that we know on death. So just concentrate on the breath and let your body settle for a minute. Your body and mind settle, and the concentration is on the breath. And let's think for a moment about dying. At this time, all beings in every realm, in one way or another, are dying, are getting closer to the actual moment of their death. Some of us are closer to death than others, but we don't know when that moment will come. We all have a sense of who we are as a personality, as a character, as a being, and we are now going to release that identity into spaciousness. Imagine that this meditation is an actual description of dying, of your death. Notice what goes on as you do the practice. Let each feeling and sensation come up, pass through your mind and body, and then be released. This practice is about awakening to our essential spaciousness. or imagine, or use our ability to imagine, visualize that we're lying on our bed at home. We are dying. We know that. Family and friends are sitting quietly in the room, but we are barely aware of them. Our mind is a little bit agitated, but that's okay. Our body is thin and weak. We can't even sit up in the bed. We can't pick anything up. Even lifting one arm is almost impossible. We don't have the energy to do anything but simply be here on the bed. We are in the process of letting go of our flesh and bones. We let go as we begin the dying process. We feel that our body is becoming heavier, in the sense that it's being weighed down on the bed, almost as if we were being pulled into the mattress. It's a dense and deep heaviness, a sensation of weight pulling us down. We are being pressed down by the weight of death. Our sense of body becomes less and less clear, less and less definite. Our arms and legs no longer seem to be a part of us. It's as if they could just separate from our torso. It's as if the body were dissolving into the bed itself, or as if we were sinking into water. And as we feel this sinking downwards, even greater physical weakness and tiredness comes upon us. And we become aware that our vision is failing us. Everything is dim and dark. We can hardly even open our eyes a little crack. And if we can, we see vague shapes and clouds and darkness. Our sensory perception of the world around us is fading. The outside world is slipping away from us. Our blood pressure drops. All the blood is moving away from our skin, from our face, into the central part of our body. We are drowsy and weak, and we have no interest in the outside world. And whatever appears to our mind is said to be like a shimmering blue mirage. This is the internal sign. Of the dissolution of the air, the earth wind. The external sign is the failing of the body. The internal sign is the appearance of mirages. This is the dissolution of the body and our relationship to the physical world. But rather than just fading out, we've trained ourselves to be aware of what's happening. We're prepared for this. This is completely predictable. Nothing about it is scary. The mind stays calm because of our practice. The mind is calm as the body separates, decays. The body is not me. I'm shedding the body, but that's not me. This is the dissolution of the earth element. As it sinks into water and form unbinds, the earth element absorbs into the water element. In the next stage, we feel our body dissolving. As we shed the body, our hearing is diminished. We lose control of the fluids in our body. Clear fluid is coming out our nose and saliva is running from our mouth. A thin, watery discharge is coming from our eyes. We can hardly even keep the urine in our bladder. And our skin is clammy. As the fluids exit the body itself becomes dry and parched. Our skin is papery. Our lips are chapped. Our tongue is thick and sticks to the palate. Our throat is scratchy. Our nostrils are burning with dryness. Our eyes are sandy and gritty. We're thirsty. And the moisture is leaving the body. And our mind stays calm, and we let the fluid element of our body go. Our thinking becomes somewhat hazy and even a little bit irritable. We no longer experience likes or dislikes. That distinguishing capacity has faded. We are numb and can't differentiate between positive and negative experiences, between pain and pleasure. These distinctions seem completely unimportant. And the internal sign is a vision of swirling smoke that fills our consciousness. The external sign is the drying up of the bodily fluids. Internally, we perceive smoke that eliminates all differences, all distinctions. the water element is dissolving into the fire element. We no longer respond to any external phenomena. And now the fire element begins to dissolve into the air element. Our body begins to cool. There's no warmth in our hands and feet. And that sense of coolness or even coldness begins to move towards our core. Our breath feels cold as it moves slowly in and out through our mouth and nostrils. Our mouth and nose dry up even more, and our ability to perceive becomes even weaker. We can't smell anything. We've completely lost the ability to smell. All the digestive processes of the body have stopped. It's impossible to even swallow at this stage. Our in-breath is weak and shallow, and the out-breath is longer than the in-breath. Our mind goes back and forth between lucidity and confusion. All the senses have faded. We can't see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. All the gross sense consciousnesses have separated. We can't remember the names of those who were dearest to us in this life. We have no sense of who's sitting in the room with us. We have no interest in what's going on in the room. And what appears to our mind now is a vision of sparks, swirling sparks behind our closed eyelids. The fire element is dissolving into air, and we no longer perceive anything. and now the air element of the body dissolves into space. We have given up any sense of volition or intention. There is nowhere to go, nothing to do, complete aimlessness. The mind is completely unaware of the outside world. And at this stage, various visions appear to our mind based on the karmic seeds that we've placed on our consciousness. The visions may be completely filled with insight, an insight that can never be expressed in words. These visions can relate to who you were and how you lived your life. You may see family and friends in a beautiful surrounding. You may see saints or holy beings who are welcoming you. You may relive pleasant experiences from your past life. Or you could have visions that are frightening and even hellish. If there are people whom you have hurt in this life, they may reappear to you. The most problematic moments of your life may play out again. You may see people attacking you. You may even cry out in fear. And though these visions, both the pleasant ones and the unpleasant ones, seem incredibly real, we have trained ourselves not to identify with them. We just let them be. The air element is dissolving. We don't have to do anything. We just let go. We can feel nothing. The last energy of our body is withdrawing into the core, into the heart area. The only warmth left in our body is at the area of our heart. The in-breath is even shorter and more shallow. The out-breath is long and forced and uneven. Our eyes roll upward into our head. No intellect or personality or characteristics is present. Our mental consciousness, mental functions cease altogether. Our consciousness has dissolved into space. From the outside, the perception is that we are dead. Breathing has stopped. Brain function has stopped. The body does not feel anything. Complete stillness. experience it. This is the air element dissolving into space. And the vision that appears in our consciousness is of a small flickering light. This is when the body, from the Western point of view, is dead. No measurable activity, but the dissolution of the consciousness continues. Everything now is the shedding of the grosser levels of consciousness and the more subtle levels of consciousness. As we approach the most subtle level of consciousness, these are the inner dissolutions. And now we experience from the crown of our head a small white drop representing the male essence is propelled downward by the inner winds through the central energy channel to the level of our heart. And as this occurs, all imprints of anger on our mind stream are transformed into clarity. And our experience is of a beautiful fall sky filled with sunlight. So the white drop moves down from the crown of the head to the level of our heart. All imprints of anger are transformed, and we have a vision of a beautiful sunlit sky. And next we experience a red drop, the female essence, again propelled by the winds on the energy channels from the base of the spine up to the heart. And as that occurs, all imprints of attachment are transformed into bliss. And our experience is of a brilliant copper red sky at sunset. The white drop and the red drop meet at the level of our heart and completely envelop our consciousness. We have completely shed the conceptual mind. And the appearance, the internal sign, is thick darkness, like a dark night sky. and we dissolve into unconsciousness. Out of this nothingness, luminescence arises. You are one with a clear morning sky, free of sunlight, free of moonlight, free of darkness. You are bliss and clarity. The clear light consciousness is liberated, free of the body, free of the gross conceptions. This is our ultimate nature. This is who we are. This is a direct experience of our clear light consciousness. And this is the actual moment of death. So we just stay with that experience for a moment. The direct experience of the pure, clear consciousness. No body, no personality, no concepts. Pure, uncontaminated consciousness, our true essence. Okay, put yourselves back together. As I said, that's the version of Joan Halifax Roshi that she worked on with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. But that's a very, jives very much with the other versions that I've read. Who found that scary or upsetting? Anyone? Okay. What was people's reaction? Let's see. Yeah, do we have a mic? Yeah. Or questions?
Questions?
Yeah.
Okay, so on the, when, first of all, I thought maybe towards the beginning it was a little more scary because I definitely was like, feeling attachment to my body.
Yeah, and that's something you shed. Yeah, so
right,
you move.
Right, and I was like, no, not ready. But then later, definitely got more comfortable with it. I thought it was excellent. At one point, I started getting confused. I was like, wait, what does it mean to have the internal sign? The external signs are obvious, but then I was like, what is perceiving? More towards the end when you don't have vision, you don't have hearing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how are you having internal thoughts?
That's a good question. They're in the consciousness. It's, you know, I don't think you could, when we're actually experiencing it, I don't think we could describe it or say what it is. That's just what pervades our mind. Yeah. At a very subtle level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like we've still got a fair amount of consciousness if we're saying those things, and it's at a much more subtle level than the way we do it in the meditation now. is what I'm
saying. What pervades your mind, I think, is helpful, a mm-hmm. helpful description of it, because I'm still thinking internal, like inside my body. But
yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, I'll put in a plug for this book that is on the list for this course, Mind of Clear Light, Advice on Dying and Living a Better Life. We have it in the bookstore. It's all of this is the same way His Holiness describes it,
mm-hmm.
and it's done in great depth in this book as well. So if you haven't picked up this copy and you do want that version of it, we should mention this if we're mentioning all the sources.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, great.
I have a lot of questions.
I probably don't have that many answers.
So I guess the first one is I'm trying to understand where this concept comes from. Is this is what the Buddha thinks this is what's happened, or like he's had this experience in a past life and he's sharing this?
Yes, he is sharing his experience.
Okay. And the next question was, like, is this what you should meditate on? Because I had a completely different experience to where when we were talking about the earth, I felt like my body was dissolving into earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, being washed and turned into, like, mud
mm-hmm.
with the water. And then eventually turning to air because, like, the fire was more like the sun making it evaporate into
mm-hmm.
the air. And that, but that was completely different than
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The Buddha is just saying, you know, based on my memory of having gone through this countless times,
mm-hmm.
countless rebirths, this is what happens every time.
Okay.
And you may not, the more prepared you are for it, the better the experience is going to be.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't just kind of he's just describing what he saw, that's
okay.
all. And he said, I've found this helpful. If you find this helpful, do it. If you don't find it helpful, set it aside.
Okay. Yeah, I did find it was really actually very peaceful because I feel like mm-hmm. you're letting go of the attachments that you have, and
mm-hmm.
that's very peaceful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Yeah, and then that experience of the clear light at the end, you know, is... If you have some experience with this more than I do, you know, it is said to be an extremely blissful experience to meditate on that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, according to the Buddha, does this happen to all sentient beings or just...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So dogs,
yeah,
cats,
yeah, and other realms, yeah. This is what every sentient being goes through when they die, even a little amoeba or something. If it has consciousness, this is what it experiences. I mean, the initial stages may not be the amoeba may not be sitting there feeling, oh God, my body feels so heavy, you know, and the amoeba is not going to feel like it's sinking into a bed, but. Some version of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's describing it for humans. Okay? This is his teaching for people who have a body and mind and human form in this lifetime. Yeah, over here.
So at what point do we select, our karma selects where we are going, because wouldn't we want to stay in that blissful place?
Yeah. Okay, so what we've done is we've shed everything but the clear light consciousness, and for most of us, we're so freaked out by what's going on, by losing everything, our body, our mind, our personality, that we're terrified at that point, and we just rush through the bardo and grab the next rebirth, and we don't even... we just almost miss that experience completely. Okay, so the Buddha is saying, you know, look for this so you're prepared, because a great meditator, someone who's highly trained, can stay with that clear light consciousness at the end, and that's when they have choice. Okay, they're in the bardo, and then they choose their next rebirth, okay, and the consciousness joins when the red and white elements from the mother and father join in the womb. That's when the consciousness enters, joins with the physical body that either our karma forces on us or that we've chosen if we've really practiced. Yeah, so it's not exactly the same, but then the clear light consciousness, all this stuff is added back onto it, okay? You get the various levels of consciousness and then you get the body. And that's rebirth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of goes in reverse. Not exactly, though. Yeah, back here. But this is where the great meditators, you know, these stories about how their bodies sat in meditation for 40 days without decaying, they're experiencing the clear light consciousness. They're at that point, you know, the actual death point, and they're just staying there, okay, in total bliss and clarity. Okay, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, the Tibetan Book of the Dead DVD that we've got in the library.
No, I haven't watched that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it had a monk with a person that, well, in the Western mind, he was dead, mm-hmm. you know. And at one point, the monk, if my memory's correct, he said, like, in 10 days, he's going to come back as something.
Mm-hmm.
But while he was, every day, you know, he read the Book of the Dead for him, and they would look at the body and the signs,
mm-hmm.
like fluids.
Yeah.
So did that monk actually know probably at what stage that the person was in, looking at the physical signs of the body? Could he say, you know, mm-hmm. he was at
yeah.
the fire stage or?
I can't answer. Yeah, I just not quite. I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good question, though. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's it for tonight. Okay, so thank you, everyone. That's as you can tell, that's a... Yeah. Oh, one more. Okay. Yeah, we'll take one more. Yeah.
Make it a hard one.
I did read the book that Aaron was holding mm-hmm. up. Very, very interesting. You will have to read it several times. At least I will.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one thing in there that after I read it, I tried to go back and find it. So we'll see if you have. It said there was four signs that as you're aging that you know that you're getting closer to death. And it started with like P-R-O, Preton.
I am not familiar. No.
Something like cataracts and cataracts. I want three cataracts.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know that. Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
I guess I'll go back
and look and tell us next week. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if I find it, I'll let you know.
Okay.
You saw the same thing.
Okay, so you're not imagining it. Yeah. Predispositions.
Yeah.
Things that.
Kind of tell you your.
Okay. Okay. Okay, yeah, if you could check and let us know what they are next time, that'll be good.
I will do that.
Okay, so I didn't print the homework out, but it's to finish all the readings. Study the death dissolution meditation and get familiar with it. And if you want to sit and practice some of that in meditation 5 days this week, that'll be good. And then we'll do it again next week. It's hard to go through the whole thing at one time. Yeah, typically we don't have 40 minutes. But first thing is just to become familiar with the structure of the meditation, so work on that. And then next week we'll have our little mini meditation retreat, yeah, for an hour and a half. Okay? Anything else, Aaron? Is there going to be a discussion afterwards? Okay. Yeah, but I won't have time. We may have to go through it a little quicker, okay, but because I want to do the others also, but we'll definitely do it again. Yeah, I may do one. That was the longest version, but I like it. I think it is very well written. It has a poetic quality. Some of the others.
It's available online.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah.
You can do it at home.
Yeah.
I think that recording is great.
Okay. So now everybody can go to the fair.